This is your classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. And when it comes to driving around in our modern cars, there's a lot that the cars do to keep us safe on the road, more than we probably realise. I'm joined this morning by Mark Borlay, Senior Manager of Future Mobility with the RAA. How are you this morning, Mark?
Very good, Jordan.
So we're talking about advanced driver assist this morning. What exactly is that?
Well, all the systems that have started to creep into cars since, 25 years ago, with the beginning with ABS, anti-locking braking system. So there's systems that compensate for skills that the driver might not have. And in some instances, as we're starting to see later, it'll compensate for circumstances that come up that the driver might not have even recognised. So if we a little bit of history, ABS, anti-locking braking systems, everybody thinks that because it's got braking systems in its title, it's there to make the braking systems more efficient. The reality is they're there to actually allow you to steer the car when you brake. So normally in the old system, you'd put your foot on the brakes, jump on the anchors, and they'd lock up the wheels. Once the wheels were locked up, you're skidding on them, little patches of rubber, and because they weren't rotating, you couldn't steer the car either. So ABS allowed the wheel to just let go a little, and that gave you your steering back, and you're able to steer around an obstacle rather than, run into it. More recently, electronic stability control came in, so that was when the car detected where it should be going in a straight line and where it was starting to slide. It would detect that through a series of systems, and then it would use actually the old ABS system to break individual wheels to correct the car and bring it back on track. So what that means is if you'd come into a corner a bit too fast, gone to go around the corner and the back had started to slide out, it would then grab the wheel on the inside of that turn, break only that wheel to try and pull the car back straight again. And again, that compensated for skill a lot of people didn't have, and that's how do you get back out of the slide once you've gone in it. And particularly for young, inexperienced drivers, it's almost, it should be on any shopping list with a parent that's looking to buy a new young person a car. These systems have been around for more than a decade or two, so it's not as though there's not a lot out of them, but especially for country drivers, you really should have that system in your car.
Mm. Of course, we've talked about this before, and that it sort of... While it is good that the car does take care of that for drivers, it does pose a bit of a skills gap when it comes to safety driving.
Yeah, and filling that skills gap's really hard because it's a hard thing to practice. And more importantly, under the circumstances of a panic decision about, oh, I've come into this too quickly, or I didn't realise there was this much mud on the road or whatever, you have to react within seconds or, splits of seconds sometimes to correct that thing. And if you haven't practiced it a lot, then it's really hard to learn on that thing. So I agree with you. It does create a skill gap, but it's also compensating for that skill gap.
Mm. And it's probably, definitely better to have the car take care of that rather than being forced into the situation where you need to learn for yourself.
Yeah. Look, and the smart systems now, the car will even know if it's got a trailer on, and it's even worse if you get into that situation. You've got a trailer which can exaggerate the sort of swaying moment, and they can compensate for that. If we fast forward now to what's available in probably more than half the cars now, it's what they call autonomous emergency braking. So these are little radars and cameras or combinations of both that look down the road and look for risks, that is, pedestrians, bike riders, cars turning in front of you, cars coming out from the side. And if for some reason you haven't detected them, and it does, that is you haven't seen them and put your foot on the brake, it jumps into action and does that braking, etc., for you. So what we're seeing is a transition in road vehicle and in vehicle safety from how the structure of the car protects you, a big solid cage in which to protect the occupants with soft collapsible parts of the body to get rid of the energy in a crash. And that will continue, but The major developments now are in all the systems that stop you even getting into the crash in the first instance, and that's what we call active driver assist systems, and they actively help you stay out of an accident.
And of course, I guess the future of cars may well and truly be automated driving, and I guess all these advanced safety systems will come into play if that is the case.
Yeah, look, the next frontier is what they call connectivity, and that's starting. And connectivity is where the car goes along, it sends out a message, you know, within a half a kilometre of where it is to other cars who've got the same system and says, here I am, I'm heading north on this road, doing this speed. So everybody knows what potential threats there are out there in the form of other cars. Now, that connectivity is starting to flow down to also eventually pick up pedestrians and cyclists and other road users. So what it'll do is, around a corner, if it senses that I'm coming to this intersection and I've got information that this car coming from my right at this speed, who is unlikely to brake in time, I'll actually start braking. Or you know, those sorts of things where the connectivity allows them to talk to each other when they can't even see each other right now, and manage some of those conflicts so that we don't end up with a crash.
So you mentioned pedestrians as well. Is this technology all running under the assumption that, like say, we'll have mobile phones on us at all times and be able to send those signals across?
So there's a couple of trials going on around the world, and they some of them make that assumption that the Bluetooth device that's sending out the signal that they need to pick up is coming from your phone. There's also little beacons that might be attached to a kid's school bag. There are some that might be attached to a push bike, so it doesn't matter what you've got on you, that'll send out the signal. So there's lots of these trials of what they call V2X, vehicle to everything else out there, that will progressively help us. Now, it won't be universal, so the way it'll start is you may have it so that everything that lives inside this precinct has to have it, so that you can actually know you're safe all the time, and then progressively move its way out to, you know, where there's more complex environment. So for country towns, it may be, you know, the first, half a kilometre radius there, you may elect to say, look, we're going to have a really smart city here. We don't want people running into each other in this part of the town, and we'll have it so that to drive your vehicles around, you have to have this little thing that talks to everybody. And you have to wear this and progressively do that out. Now, that'll be a community-by-community, country-by-country decision as the technology becomes affordable and they see a need for it.
We'll look forward to seeing where car safety technology goes in the future. Mark, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for your interest, Jordan.
That was Mark Borlase, Senior Manager of Future Mobility with the RAA on your Classic It's Breakfast.